Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, where we are breaking down some of the biggest headlines and everyone's favorite and not so favorite celebrity news. Joining me this week, I've got Travis Cronin.
Hi.
Brody Brown.
Hi. This week, I'm dialing in from Violet Affleck's lunchbox. It's really lonely in here since our Violet's mom is cavorting with her new hot boyfriend.
Oh, my God, Brody. That's so creepy.
Oh, she's not here to make us lunch.
And Jamie Blynn.
Hi.
How are you going to follow that? Jeez.
I have no comment.
No, so obviously, guys, all right, let's get down to it. The biggest story this week is Megyn Kelly and all the drama going on over at NBC. So just a little background note, Megyn Kelly has been with NBC now for a year. She did not start on the right foot, definitely had some negative comments, definitely some awkward interviews with celebrities live on air who called her out, Jane Fonda and Deborah Messing. And last week, she made some pretty insensitive remarks that finally put the nail in the coffin, where she made a reference to blackface and how, you know, blackface wasn't a thing when she was a kid. And that, of course, kind of just started this huge international debate. And that was NBC's, I hate to say excuse, but reason for officially getting her out of her contract and getting her off air. So as of press time right now, we know that Megyn Kelly's Today Hour has been canceled. She hasn't been officially let go from the network just yet, but it is pointing to Megyn Kelly pretty much being ousted. We know she's just... Her lawyers and NBC lawyers are pretty much now trying to get her contract situated and get her paid out for what she thinks she deserves. But what are your take on it? I mean, Brody, I know you're chomping at the bit to get involved.
Why would I be chomping at the bit,
Ready,
Janet?
Go.
Is it because I interviewed Megyn Kelly on September 26th?
I did.
At what time?
It was sometime in the afternoon. She was actually a little bit late, but I understand that coming from breaking news. It was quite interesting. We spoke for 70 minutes, our interview was. It was a year in review, looking at, you know, how it's been at the head of Megyn Kelly Today. We talked about the moment she regretted. She said her only regret was putting Jane Fonda on the air. We talked about the work she's put into the show and her team has. I mean, as you noted, the show did not get off to the right foot. The ratings were unsteady, but there had been slight steady growth in the final months of the show. So it looked like it had sort of been turning around. But what we've heard was that Megyn really was rocking the boat with her Me Too coverage, which oftentimes that would turn to NBC's own problems because, of course, they had Matt Lauer. And Megyn had put Addie Zanone, a woman who said she had a consensual sexual relationship with Matt Lauer, on her show and talked to Addie about, was this an abuse of power? And they basically said, yes, like Matt's relationship with her was an abuse of power. NBC, as we've heard from sources, did not like that at all, and it essentially put a target on Megyn's back. And as we've heard from sources, that NBC management was gunning to get Megyn out of there because she was rocking the boat. And when I asked her in the interview, you know, has anyone internally tried to put pressure on you for doing a segment that would rock the boat like this, she said no comment. And I said, and she said, the only thing I'll say about that is I wasn't going to let anyone stop me at Fox, and I won't let anyone stop me at NBC. That is like a warning shot. And I think if you're already feeling nervous internally at NBC and protective of your talent, the brand, et cetera, that's someone who's not going to back down. I also asked her, have you spoken to Matt Lauer? And she said, not at all. And I said, do you think someone like Matt Lauer can come back and, you know, have some resurgence in the public eye? And she said, I know too much that others don't know, which was very,
very
creepy
telling.
And foreboding and telling.
Here's my first comment on that, on your whole spiel just now. Yes, Megyn Kelly is the highest paid person at the network. Megyn Kelly, of course, is one of the biggest journalists in breaking news. Like, if how you feel about her or how you don't, she is, of course, one of the biggest names in news. She doesn't even have enough power. I think if NBC did not want Matt Lauer's accuser on Megyn Kelly's show, they would have stopped her. So I think it is pretty interesting that they allowed this woman to go on Megyn Kelly's show. Because at the end of the day, yes, she's an anchor. She's a host. But it's got to go up a bigger chain to allow a guest like that on an NBC show. So I don't know. I don't blame her totally for that. But I think it is pretty telling that they allowed that. So I just wonder if there was some drama back then. They kind of were planning her escape.
There's no way that NBC would feel comfortable after, you know, sort of harboring Matt Lauer doing this, that they would tell Megyn Kelly that they couldn't have a person on. That would just make them look double bad.
Yeah, that would get out. Yeah, she would be like, we tried to have this person on. It would, she there would be some sources, someone would, somehow that would leak, that NBC had squashed this.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think so.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think there's obviously people in much bigger power positions that could say, Megyn, listen, no, this is going to cause too much controversy. Stay away.
No, because if they squashed that and then that got out, then it would be them thwarting reporting on people who Matt had, you know, abused power with. And in the moment of Me Too with this going on, that would be, they would be in the huge hot seat. And they were already in the hot seat because people thought that they must have known that this was going on for so long.
I'm nodding my head in agreement. No, for those who can't see.
What do you think? I mean, you obviously wrote our cover story this week. What are your thoughts?
My main thought is that part of me thinks Megyn Kelly said this for a reaction. She's a very smart woman. She's a book smart woman. She knows that blackface is racist. You can't go about.
She has to.
You
One
have
would hope.
To know. I mean, it's 2018. Yeah. Everything is politically incorrect. You have to. There's a fine line. You have to be careful. You are on national television. You can't just go off saying anything you want.
Don't even say that word.
Well, also, what drives me crazy is that it's like, oh, I'm not, when she was like, I'm not a PC person. It's not just PC.
It's not PC.
It's racist.
It's just racist.
It's racist.
That's, the
that's
thing.
Not like, oh, am I hurting people's feelings? No, that's racist.
And it's coming from this little white blonde lady. It's not like, and there was no one of color on that panel that she was talking about with. And she just goes, what's racist about it? And I just feel like that is the dumbest thing you could say. That part of me is like, did she want a reaction? Did she think that, oh, by saying this, nothing's going to come of it, and I can just kind of like spark controversy to get more viewers? I don't know, but it just boggles my mind that she would think it's okay to say that, is my whole thing.
And also, as this has come up a lot, you know, when we're looking about her problematic comments in the past, particularly as it pertains to race, when she was at Fox, she said Santa is white.
Yes.
She said Jesus is white. And when I interviewed her, I said, listen, have your personal ideologies or your politics or your beliefs evolved at all since you've come to NBC and been exposed to new people and new ideas? And she said, not at all. And I was
it's crazy because
not at all.
You have to change with the times.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, you meet new people, you hear new stories. That opens your heart. That opens your mind. That's usually the way things work.
And but I also think you need to like know your audience. Like her audience on 9 a.m. NBC is totally different than her former audience, Fox News at night at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. whatever she was on. But you know, we have from many sources inside NBC who tell us now that everybody was a little nervous when Megyn came on. And people were kind of hesitant to put her on a morning daytime talk show because they just didn't think that she would be the right fit for that. And clearly now we know.
She's also, regardless of the fact that she's someone who does hard-hitting news, daytime talk show people are warm, welcoming people. You welcome them into your bedroom, your living room every morning. That's not Megyn Kelly. I'm sorry.
Well, she, you know, when I interviewed her, I was like, do you think you're vulnerable enough for daytime TV? And she was like, yes, I'm vulnerable. But she's like, I think that's a sexist question. No one's asking George Stephanopoulos if he's vulnerable enough for daytime TV.
It sounds sexist, but like also she's more nighttime. Like let's talk equality. Just because I'm not saying that she's not warm because like women like need to be warmer than men. I'm saying she's more nighttime than daytime. Just personality, regardless. If she was a man or a woman, she's not likable or warm.
I think George is perfect for daytime too. I think George does a really good job transcending from daytime to nighttime and doing Sunday news. But I think he's a warm, welcoming person. You want to see a personal side of him, whereas, like, I can't imagine going inside.
You need a plucky person. She needs to be a little more plucky.
Yeah.
All people need to be plucky, men and women.
But like George Stephanopoulos, he's also on a panel with other people. So he can be the serious political journalist who, you know, who does the heavy interviews from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning. Megyn, it's just her on a stage by herself. I mean, I just don't know what they were thinking.
I will say this, though. I had a very specific cold, hardened opinion about Megyn before I interviewed her. When I interviewed her, she communicated a warmth that surprised me, talking about her family, talking about her kids, talking about the things she was passionate about, talking about crying, talking about being emotional. And then when I saw her at the show, it was like a, they talked about like Dateline. It was not its traditional format. She seemed, it was colder. The show, I don't think, showcased her as actually more complex person she is. And then she did a Q&A with the audience after. She was funny. She was self-deprecating. There I saw the warmth and the humanness again. I was missing it in Megyn Kelly today. So I think her desire to do hard news and whatever the way that show was formatted did not communicate her as a way that people could connect with, because I could connect with her in the interview. And I saw audience connect with her in the Q&A after, but during the show I was like,
I interviewed her in May before everyone from Today went to London for the royal wedding, and I was actually very surprised at how fun and open
she is laughing on the phone.
Yeah. And I was like a little intimidated going to the interview. I was like, oh, Megyn Kelly's not going to have any fun answers. She's going to be like, why are you asking me about William and Harry? And she was really fun, which surprised me when I got off the phone with her.
Yeah.
Well, we'll expect her book deal soon.
Yeah, right? No, but I mean,
what is her first one? Settle for nothing, settle for less. Settle for something. I read it.
Know, but we have so many sources saying that the show was unbookable. Like,
yeah,
celebrities didn't want to go on Megyn Kelly today because they weren't sure about the questions, her line of questioning, and they didn't want to kind of connect themselves being with Megyn Kelly. So that's a big problem.
The show, I mean, we heard that after there was a report after the Jane Fonda thing that people were not interested in bringing their celebrity clients there. But then we saw she did have some big celebrity. She had Alyssa Milano, she had Tom Arnold, she had Jada Pinkett Smith. She had some good names, but then we heard, of course, from a source, we heard that the show was unbookable, guests were canceling left and right after the blackface comments, and that NBC just saw it was impossible to move forward.
How long do we all think it'll be before Megyn goes back on Fox News' air?
I don't think she's going to go back. I don't think she'll go back.
She doesn't go back to Fox, but she'll have something in the works in January. I feel like she'll take the rest of the year off, do something, pick out the right thing. Come January, February, she'll be back.
It depends on her exit package, too. I mean, there have been reports that they want her to send an NDA, that they want her to agree to a non-compete or something. So we'll see. I mean, how much does she get paid out? How much will she really get paid out?
3 years or $25 million a year. She's owed $50 million.
She told me in our interview that she has never seen her salary reported correctly, and that she is worth every penny that she makes. She is owed every penny that she makes.
Well, I will tell you what, for thinking that.
You
have to believe in yourself.
Yeah, you should.
I mean,
especially when you look at the way women are not paid the same amount as men.
Totally.
Congrats. You know, there's a woman who does make a lot of money and who's like, I'm owed that check.
I hope it goes to Savannah and Hoda.
Me too.
Hoda, yeah, particularly. Hoda's like carrying that morning.
She really is.
Yeah, she is.
She's incredible. She's so open. She's so funny.
She goes to the beginning, then she goes to Kathy Lee. She's taking over Megan's hour.
Yeah.
I like it. I love Hoda. We all know
all
that.
I know,
she's an Egyptian
all we
goddess.
Know is Megyn Kelly's making a lot more than we are. On that note, speaking of dudes, goodbye. Speaking of dudes, what is going on with Nicki and Cardi B? Apparently they're like, now they've called a truce.
Nah, that's not really a truce.
I know.
That was the weakest truce.
I think they caused.
Travis, give us some background on what's going on.
Yeah, why are they fighting?
All right. Well, this started a long time ago when Cardi first came out. Cardi felt that Nicki was shading her and telling people not to work with her, and then Nicki sort of combated this by being like, oh no, I'm definitely not doing that, girl. Come over here. Let's do this song together with Migos. Let's like rap together. We're all good. And then Cardi was like a little hesitant, but they did it. And she sort of knew that Nicki still hated her, like low key. And it was just sort of like little jabs behind the scenes, very like insider baseball things. And Cardi actually showed us on The Rant that you can go to see Nicki Minaj's likes. And she was liking a lot of shady memes about her, about Cardi B for the last year and a half. She's been liking like shady memes about her. And I think the truce they called today was about the petty back and forth about these deals that they passed or not passed to each other. It was sort of getting all into the nitty gritty. But I mean, we've seen this story a lot of times, you know, newcomer coming up, established queen, like does not like this person coming up. We've seen it in all genders and all genres. And that's pretty much what we have going on here.
Yeah, and it's actually, I will say, to her credit, Nicki was the one who said, I want to not stop talking about this. She didn't apologize to Cardi, let's be quite clear. And she didn't say, we're bigger than this, we're sisters. She was just like, I want to stop talking about this, let's put positivity out there.
Yeah,
and then Cardi essentially,
if you put positivity out, you get it back from the universe.
I mean, Cardi essentially co-signed it by screen capping it, putting it on her Instagram. But Nicki has engaged in several disputes with very popular women. From Little Kim to Remy Ma to Miley Cyrus for a minute.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, there have been a bunch of other people. And I think this was one that she was really up against an equal, I mean, if not equal, someone who has a ton of popular support right now.
For sure. And Cardi is, like, from the streets. She is, like, ready to scrap. And, like, if you're going to, like, this is not some Miley Cyrus, like,
yeah, what's good,
fight.
Miley?
This She's is not a what's good, down. Miley. Cardi is like, this is my address. Come punch me in the face.
Yeah, try it. Yikes. You can try.
Like, talk about it. Be about it. And this all started because Cardi's sister was in this heated online battle with Raj, who's one of Nicki Minaj's best friends, part of her team. Raj is the one who allegedly hit Raj.
Raleigh.
She's the one who allegedly
Travis
put the knot.
She's come to one of our Hollywood parties, Raleigh.
Yeah,
I met her.
Raleigh has?
Yeah, she has.
Oh,
yeah,
she so has Hennessy.
Yeah, Hennessy. Was that our
not the same one. But Raleigh is the one who hit Cardi and caused that gigantic knot on her head. So Hennessy, Carolina, and Raleigh were fighting online, and that sort of exacerbated this and caused Nicki to go on Queen Radio yesterday and bring all this stuff up again.
It's never going to die. This is like the best feud. This is the feud that keeps on giving. I love it so much.
You know what's nice about this? Because it is not the media pitting two women against each other. It's the women. I'm like, oh, yeah. But no, we have actually nothing. It's not
you. You just take a step back. Yeah. You can watch, grab your bucket of popcorn.
We can be like, God, stop fighting.
Speaking of the media putting two feuding women together, so Maury Povich actually told us this week. He says, I don't believe that there's peace between Cardi and Nicki, so you can all settle it on my show. He actually invited them on his show to take a free lie detector test, as if, you know, they can't afford
Cardi
a lie detector test.
Cardi retweeted that and said she's down.
It's enough to be free.
I know. He's like, I'll literally give you guys a free lie detector. Those don't lie, and we can see who is telling the truth and who is lying.
No, Cardi is down. Offer like the if they were on his show, the ratings, that's what he wants.
Oh, absolutely.
Care about the lie detector.
But I also could see in like a really, really weird world them doing it.
Absolutely.
Cardi would.
Well, Cardi retweeted that. She said she's down.
She would. Yeah. It would I wish that Cardi would do a single, you know, Nicki said, why don't you ask Remy or Kim to be on one of your records? Why doesn't Cardi ask Remy or Kim to be on one of her records? Like that would be such a good response. Song.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all just fooling us and Cardi and Nicki are working on a collaboration.
No, that's definitely not happening.
Mark my words, October 30th at 2:49.
Unfortunately. Where's some unanswered questions. Where's Cardi B's shoe? We never got the missing shoe. She came out of the Harper's Bazaar party with a shoe.
I don't know. I hope it's framed and like put in like her foyer.
Offset has it.
Yeah.
Well, it's also tough because Nicki's so close with Quavo, and obviously Cardi is married to Offset. So people have started to pick sides.
Yes.
Lil Yachty came out yesterday. He's like, I can't work with Nicki Minaj because I'm Team Cardi. So this is really going to cause a rift in the hip-hop community. You got to take sides.
Well, yeah, you do. And I mean, there's like so much pointing to whose songs are charting more, who's making more money.
Oh, my God.
You saw
what
the
side
Diesel.
Is everybody on?
Oh, at this table?
At this table.
Okay, ready? Let's go. Okay, let's
Nicki.
Go around.
Cardi.
Cardi.
Nicki.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I was Nicki in the fight
divided.
Because I was like, oh, you lost your cool. You threw your shoe.
Right.
But, and then I saw more evidence and I was like, wait, what?
Nicki's just so petty.
She's also gotten into a lot of fights.
Yes, yeah. That's, I'm looking at her track record.
That makes me sad. And also, I like Cardi's new album better.
Me too.
I listen to it more. Cool. Sorry.
Speaking of new like albums, Cardi new more. Books. Wait, so Justin Timberlake actually wrote this new book where he is talking about Britney Spears allegedly cheating on him. Obviously, you know, Cry Me a River is a famous song where he wrote about Britney cheating on him with Trace Ayala. So now—
Allegedly,
sorry. So Trace obviously was Justin's best friend. But no, this is actually the first time that he's saying and even just admitting that the song is about her. Do you guys remember that video, though? It's like a Britney Spears look-alike walking into the home. It's pouring rain. The picture of them is, like, on the mantle.
That's
like he's
so good.
I'm sad they didn't have that dance battle in the club that was in the Britney Lifetime movie. But that, sadly, was an unconfirmed thing.
But no, he's confirming that he wrote Cry Me a River 2 hours after he and Britney split.
It seems like a song that was written in 2 hours.
And hey,
I love that song. I think it's great.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's such a pop classic.
No, I'm sorry. It's not
He also actually said the first time he met Jessica Biel, too. They were all at this bar together. They met through mutual friends. And he, like, said this really lame, corny joke. And she's the only one that laughed. I mean, shocker. I mean, I would, too, if I was in a group date with Justin Bieber. Justin Timberlake.
You'd be like, that was great. Right?
And he's she's like the only one. Guy. Yeah, she's the only one that laughed. And then, like, a few weeks later, she went to another show of his in San Diego. And
she laughed again.
She laughed again. A.K.A. he, like, invited her back on his tour bus. And a month after texting and talking on the phone, he invited her to Europe, and they've been together ever since.
Oh, really, ever since? Because I'm pretty sure there was a little break in the middle of there.
Allegedly.
Those are breaks.
They were confirmed.
Those weren't even alleged breaks. What happened to cause those breaks is alleged, but they definitely had a little, a little breathing space.
He's a commitment phobe a little bit.
And I'm sure she smelled that when she met him.
Do you remember who he dated right before Jessica Biel?
Cameron Diaz.
Jenna Dewan.
Oh.
Speaking of.
When was Cameron Diaz? Cameron Diaz was before Jenna Dewan.
Yeah, he dated. Mm-hmm. I didn't make that up. Okay. I was like,
Cameron Diaz was after Britney. Jenna Dewan was right before Jessica Biel.
I mean, who could forget those pictures?
I can't believe he dated Jenna Dewan.
He was his backup dancer.
Yes. I did not know that. But do you remember those pictures of him and Cameron Diaz, like, kissing on the surfboard?
Yes.
I remember those.
Oh, absolutely.
That's amazing. But yeah, but speaking of Jenna Dewan, she has moved on with a new guy. She is dating Steve.
She's dating Justin Timberlake again.
Justin, right?
Oh, my God.
One could only hope.
No.
But, yeah, she is actually dating a guy who's pretty big here on Broadway.
Yeah, he was in Once.
I'm down.
From Kentucky.
I don't know too much about him. Do you?
Does anyone know his name?
Not that much, but we did have an eyewitness who was at the Casamigos Halloween party in LA last Friday, and he was in a Wolverine costume, and Jenna was introducing him to all of her friends and kissing him and grinding a little bit on him.
Okay, you didn't need to get into your sexual voice.
Grinding just a little bit.
We know she can do it.
She sure can. Hello, Channing Tatum was also witness to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually sweet. So we've known she's been dating someone for a little bit. I mean, she's not dating the equivalent of Channing dating Jessie J, but that's probably a welcome thing after being in such a public relationship.
Yeah, but his name is Steve Kazee. We heard, or we know, that he has been spotted recently on a bunch of dating apps. So I wonder if they did meet on Raya or through mutual friends. Mm. We don't know just yet. But sources are telling us that he's cool. He definitely has made his way around Hollywood and has dated around. So.
Yeah, there's no shame in being on Raya, Jen.
No.
It's hard to get on Raya.
Jen and I actually met on Raya once. It's really a beautiful story.
Such a beautiful story.
It's hard to get on.
It is hard to get on.
I tried.
But no, Jenna, good for her for moving on, especially Channing and Jesse. We know that he was at Jesse J's Houston show on Sunday night, so it seems like the two of them are going strong.
He's such a fangirl. I love it. He's like following her to all these.
Jesse J is
such
also
a great performer.
Yeah, but she's also Jenna Dewan's British twin.
Yeah,
they look so much alike.
He loves her
full
double.
I'm not going to give her full twin. There's Jenna Dewan, and then there's like Jesse J.
Jesse J won essentially the China equivalent bigger than of American Idol,
bigger
but bigger
than Idol, which is so crazy.
She was great too doing the Whitney song. I think he has a fetish for parted down the middle blunt bobs.
I agree.
Oh.
But I think that's his thing.
His thing. That's
sleek,
all you need.
Crystal hair parted down the middle, blunt bobs.
Don't go shorter. Don't go longer. Yeah. Just keep it right there
Literally
at the chin.
Just get a wig. You're cool. We're all in.
Keep it with the short lob, and you're good to go with Channing.
Not a lob. Yeah.
It's not a lob. Don't be sloppy.
All right. Did you guys see this new drama, though, with Danny Amendola and Olivia Culpo?
I did. Unfortunately, yes. I feel so bad for her. Didn't this happen to her before?
I feel like it always happens with poor Olivia Culpo.
But how do you cheat on Olivia Culpo? Sorry, I'll let you go.
It's happened before.
Wasn't
she Miss Universe?
She's so stunning. Yes.
Miss Universe. Okay.
You're like, okay, Danny, you got that much confidence. Good luck.
Like, seriously, you're not going to do better than Miss Universe.
So Danny Amendola, he's like a B-list.
Tell that to Nick Jonas. He got it better than Miss Universe.
He's a B-list football player on the Miami Dolphins. He, of course, would play with Gronkowski and Tom Brady on New England.
B-list?
B-list football player? For
sure. I think she means second string.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant B-list. I was like, dude, I don't even watch whatever that game is you just said. But that sounds shady.
No, he's a starting player. Yeah.
He's a player, all right.
No, he is a player, all right. So they've been on and off for a couple of years now. Probably, 2 years? Like, two Super Bowls ago, I feel like she was, prancing around in a Patriots jersey.
Yeah, she only cares if they're in the Super Bowl.
But sources are telling us that they've been on and off lately. Like, she really has been traveling a lot. She's focusing on work. Danny is, of course, living in Miami. It's in the middle of the season for him. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, he was spotted kind of like touching a really hot girl's ass on the beach. Wasn't they were she? In the water. They were really close together. We didn't see any, you know, lip on lip action, but we know from sources that they met the night before and that they were at the beach with a bunch of mutual friends and hung out that night. Anywho, paparazzi get pictures of this going on the beach. Olivia Culpo, of course, sees them
from Australia on
the internet. She's in Australia, and she then goes. She's first off. This girl is shooting the SI swimsuit issue
on Kangaroo Island. So how about that, Bianca? What are you doing?
Also, that girl kind of looks like
they have the same body.
She's Olivia Culpo, but for cable.
She was a local sports and like weather girl down in Miami. Mm-hmm. She quit her job.
She was not Miss Universe.
She is not posing in SI swimsuit right now. Anyway, Olivia is in Australia, sees on the internet that Danny is like touching some girl's bare ass on the beach, and then goes on Instagram to post this photo of her wrapped in a real live snake and uses a snake emoji. I love it. That's kind of a dig, but
didn't she also tweet wow?
Yeah.
I would fly my butt to Miami.
No.
His ass should be on the next plane to Kangaroo Island begging for her forgiveness.
It's true.
Yeah. You cannot do better than Olivia Culpo.
Can we go back to Nick Jonas and Olivia Culpo? Did he cheat on her?
Well, they were on and off, and then they were on again right before he got with Priyanka.
But he was also spotted with an Olivia lookalike when they were off again. But the thing about these Olivia lookalikes look like Olivia, just more like down
the
to
dollar
earth.
Store. Oh, the dollar.
They look less like into themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They look more free-spirited.
Like cable versus primetime television.
I mean, but like free-spirited versus
dollar store versus Target.
I also need to say this. We also have to remember she's like a pageant queen at heart. This is a girl that was like grew up in pageants. Miss Universe.
She didn't grow up in pageants.
She didn't. And she also plays the viola. No, she plays the cello. She plays an incredible stringed instrument. I once was in a hungover Instagram like black hole, and I was like, what am I watching? Videos of Olivia Culpo like playing some strings. I need to find it.
That's
playing
great.
Strings.
But I just always feel like she gets left for people who sort of like have the exact same body for her, but just take themselves less seriously. And
maybe
that's really sad.
Maybe she needs to have higher standards. Maybe
I think she needs higher standards. Yeah. She needs
and
a better
she needs
guy.
She needs to be treated better.
She needs a better guy who actually like deserves her.
Yes. Yeah. Have some more self-respect
who
out there,
that,
Olivia,
like,
if you're listening.
Last football player, the Christian guy who was really famous who she was dating.
Tim Tebow.
I really thought her and Tim Tebow were going to laugh.
Isn't he you can't have sex before marriage?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if she dated. Perfect. Oh.
Not from what I know.
Ooh.
Those are my sources.
Okay. I thought you were saying personal account. I was like,
No, but no, he does love to well, actually, he played up the whole virgin vibe for a couple of years. He hasn't really brought it up recently, but no. I've definitely heard from a couple of people that I know that is not true.
Okay.
But I definitely didn't think Tim Tebow and Olivia Culpo were going to last.
Is he still in the farm league for baseball?
Yes. I think he got hurt. Sports.
Oh, yeah. She definitely plays the cello.
The cello.
It's incredible.
But that's her
she's
talent?
So nice. She's so she, like, serious. Looks like an angel. She needs a guy that deserves her. These, like, F-boys, these, like, football F-boys that are not going to be true to her.
Double F-boys.
Yeah. Double F-boys. I hope she's already broken up with him.
Yes.
No, we heard that it's, like, she also posted on her Instagram stories, a new beginning.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
She's so classy. I would post like a nude picture of him and be like, I'm glad I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Not as big as my snake that's wrapped around me right now. Well, Jen Garner, though, she is still going strong with her burger boyfriend.
She is. Yeah. I love it.
I like it. Jen Garner, she's actually here in New York for press Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. He came with her. He wasn't spotted. We have people that told us that he was sneaking in and out of her hotel in disguises.
He must have been, because we did not see him at the hotel.
No.
He was very well disguised.
Yeah, wearing like a hat and like a scarf and maybe some little googly-eyed glasses.
No. He's like a generic-looking dude. Like,
he's a good-looking generic dude,
so like he could probably disguise himself well.
He was here in New York with her on Thursday and Friday. Then they flew back on a private jet on Friday night to L.A.
As one does.
And then on Saturday night, she went with Ben Affleck to the Dodgers game with their kids, and then she left Ben and the kids and met up with him later that night.
Good for her. I'm really happy for her.
Good for
Me
her.
Too.
Me too.
Happy that he's somewat normal as well. He's
absolutely.
Speaking of the violin.
Oh my god!
More strings.
Too many strings in one podcast. Yes, so, he's still legally married. Her boyfriend's still legally married to Caroline, who is a famous violinist.
Yes, Chris concert violinist.
She's another person whose Instagram I fell down. I was watching like whole like I was on an Instagram hole of watching her play all this like violin.
I feel like you have
solos.
A weird string fetish.
Shh, don't bring that up right now, please.
Sensitive subject. No, I mean, this woman, Caroline Campbell, she's Bocelli's and Chris Botti's main violinist. She travels the world with them. So it all comes back to those strings.
It sure does.
What a weird way that just came back circled together.
All right, I have to ask if this has ever happened to you guys, because it's happened to Tiffany Haddish. So we were talking to her the other night, and she told us that she recently went on this date, and it was the worst date she's ever been on. We asked her why, and she said he smelled really, really bad, like ass. She said he stank so bad, and of course we asked, like, you know, did you say something? And she goes, yeah, I said, you stink. He was looking at her like she was crazy for telling him that. And then they went to the movies right after that. They were in the theater, and she told him again, I got to use the restroom, and she never came back. Has that ever happened to you where you guys have been on a date and somebody stank so much?
Bad breath. Never like just
stank. Someone's feet.
Like, his kid in fifth grade smelled really bad, so I told his older brother to tell him, and then he stopped smelling.
That's very kind. Aww.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, one guy I was with, his feet sort of smelled really bad. But, like, it's a thing if you're in New York in the winter, you really have to wash your feet because it's, like, so sweaty.
And the summer.
Oh, yeah. Those Uggs are stinky.
But I didn't tell him. I just didn't see
it. Did you have, like, his foot was in your face?
I was like let's take a shower and so that's how I sort of changed it.
I hate feet. Ugh, I'm so grossed out right now. I'm so grossed out.
I have been on a date recently where the guy had such terrible BO. Like, the second he walked in the bar.
Not sexy, like, just, like, wild.
No, like, yeah. Like, BO, like, you've been partying all night, you haven't showered today, or, like, did you just come from the gym and you didn't shower? That's even worse.
Some people are
I hate
that.
When you get into a cab and you're like, whoa, someone was in here before.
And then you're, like, pretending to itch your nose, thinking it's like, you, and, like, you're trying to check your own stuff.
I'm just going to open the window a little bit. I'm a little hot.
It's like the first thing you do is like put on some deodorant, like spritz it up before you go on a date.
Or maybe, no, some people don't do that.
Yeah, I use your perfume all the time from your desk. Not that I go on dates.
Yeah, people like a little general man stank, but like not like apparently
Tiffany Haddish does not. Like something is burning and dying inside of your sweater. Right.
But hey, I feel like if there's one person out there that can actually call a guy out for stinking, it's Tiffany Haddish.
100%. Mm-hmm.
She's had an amazing year. I have to say that. She's like kind of blown up into this A-list
she is.
Movie mogul. But I just also love that she hasn't really lost her true sense and her personality and her sense of humor. She'll just literally say anything without a filter and not care to offend anyone. It's very refreshing.
I interviewed her over the summer, I think, and she was telling me how she went to a party at P. Diddy's and she was like taking the flowers, the centerpieces, because she thought they were so great. And P. Diddy was like, okay, whatever. And then he was like, let's take a picture. And she had like her big Gucci bag. She's like, I just want everyone to know Jada bought me this and I want everyone to know I have a Gucci bag. So I need it front and center. And Diddy was like, okay.
I love that.
I love that too. Well, guys, that's all for this week's episode of Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Stories. Tune in next week for some more talk about violins, stinky feet, and the NFL. Tell your friends, subscribe, like, Graham. And I promise we'll learn more about sports by next week. Bye.
Bye.